up the tariff dollars, and we discussed in the previous trucken the sin of the B'nai Eli, and how they were rebuked by Eli, and then how an Ish Elokim, the man of God, came and told them the Nevuah, and then Shmuel was given a Nevuah, a prophecy that they were going to be punished. I guess that's what we're up to now. Not a happy topic, but Perek Dalet, well, we're going to see the Jews go off to war. Now they're off to war, and we'll see what happens as a result of how this comes out as the punishment. Vayhi Devar Shmuel L'chol Yisrael. The words of Shmuel went to all of Klal Yisrael. Vayetze Yisrael Likras Plishtim, and Klal Yisrael went out to greet the Plishtim L'Molchama in battle, to meet them in battle. Vayachnu al ha'evan ha'ezer, and they camped by a place, Evan ha'ezer. Uplishtim chanu ba'afek, and the Plishtim camped in this place afek. The Radak says, what the Pasuk is telling you, is Shmuel was behind this war. Interestingly enough, during the times of the Shoftim, what happened was the Jews had a lot of, in different areas, different Shvatim, sometimes this nation of Goyim gave them problems, sometimes it was a different nation, and whichever Shevet had problems with the Goyim would deal with it. A Shofet would arise and he would help them out. Sometimes a few Shvatim would get together, like we just had in yesterday's Haftorah with Devorah and Barak. A few people, because she got together, Yisachar, and a few Shvatim gathered together, but not everyone. It wasn't like the Jewish nation was off the battle. Those Shvatim that had to deal with the enemy gathered around the Shofet, and they went to war. Here it seems to be like this was the first time Klal Yisrael, Vayetze Yisrael, Likras Plishtim, the Jewish people went out to fight the Plishtim. Eli was the Shofet after Shimshon, which is interesting. Shimshon also had to deal with the Plishtim. It seems like the Palestinians are always causing problems. But Shimshon, when he dealt with the Plishtim also, it wasn't like the Jewish nation went to war. Shimshon himself was fighting them. It was, you know, there were all types of strange strategies, you know, tying the foxes' tails, but that's a separate series of shiurim. But Shimshon was fighting against the Plishtim, and it wasn't like the Jewish people went off to war. Here it's Vayetze Yisrael Likras Plishtim. In fact, the Radak learns that's what the Pasuk is saying is Vayhi Dvar Shmuel L'chol Yisrael. The words of Shmuel were to Klal Yisrael to go to war. Vayetze Yisrael Likras Plishtim. It's one long continuum. Shmuel told them to go to war. Otherwise, it doesn't say who's leading the battle. And the problem with that is the Mefarshim all asked of Arbanel and the Malbim that we just learned whatever Shmuel said came true in Pasuk Yud Tes in the last perek. Lohibil mikol devar avarza. His words didn't fall to the ground. What he said happened. And everybody knew that Shmuel was Nemun Lashem. He was a true Navi. It'd be kind of strange, in fact, one of the Mefarshim says he'd be a Navi Sheker if this was the case. This is like his first prophecy to the Jewish people to go to war, and they end up being defeated. In other words, we just got to be saying how all of his words came true and he was such a perfect Navi to say that it was his idea to make the war. I mean, you can say that was the idea that they should go to war and they should lose and this is the punishment. But the Ralbag learned, the Ralbag is actually in the end of the last perek, that there's two different things. Vayhi Dvar Shmuel L'chol Yisrael. The words of Shmuel were for the whole people. Even though Eli was still alive, Shmuel was now acting as the leader. Now, he was recognized as, we mentioned Eli's, both his spiritual and his physical, certainly his physical abilities were on the decline, and he wasn't growing. And as he has already, we already learned, he was 98 years old already, he was a Zokain, and we'll mention it later in the Perek. He wasn't actively leading the people. It was Vayhi Dvar Shmuel L'chol Yisrael, Shmuel was leading them. But period. In fact, if you look under that, we've had this before, under the word Yisrael, there's an etznachta. That's like a break. It's two separate things. Vayhi Dvar Shmuel L'chol Yisrael, you should know Shmuel was leading the Jewish people. And then the Yidden went out to battle, and obviously Shmuel didn't stop them, Eli didn't stop them, but it wasn't his idea. And in fact, to back that up, in the Novi, if you look in the Klap, there's a space, like a new Parsha. Interestingly, after the word Vayidvar Shmuel L'chol Yisrael, there's a break, a stop, and then it's like a new Parsha that they went out to war. And obviously it's written together because obviously Shmuel didn't stop them. In other words, he was the one in charge and they went to war, and therefore it's put together as if he's to blame, but it wasn't his direct idea. And lastly, I say there's many pshatim, but Rashi mentions Vayhi Devar Shmuel L'chol Yisrael, the nevuah, the prophecy of Shmuel came forth, it occurred to all of Klal Yisrael. How did it happen? How did this punishment occur? Vayitza Yisrael Likras Plishtim. His nevuah was about to be fulfilled. First of all, there was going to be a punishment on the household of Eli, and second of all, he had said that something was going to happen. Hinei Anochi Osa Dover V'Yisrael. Something was going to happen that whoever would hear it, Titzilena Shtei Osnav, his ears would tingle. That this was something that was going to affect all of Klal Yisrael, and that's going to happen right now. That Vayetze Yisrael Likros Plishtim. The Yidden went out to battle the Plishtim, La Melchama. Vayachnu Aloheven Ho'ezer. They camped by the place Ho'even Ho'ezer. There was no place with this name at this point in history. We'll see later on, Shmuel fought a battle, and it's later on in Perek Zion, and over there they were victorious, and therefore Shmuel named the place Ho'even Ho'ezer, the stone, Ezer, that they were helped, that Hashem helped them, and they were able to win the war. Over there it's called Even Ho'ezer, and there's the two that. Over here it puts in Ho'even Ho'ezer. First of all, it's called that because that place in history is now known as Ho'even Ho'ezer, so it's referred to that name even though it wasn't named yet. But it could be, it writes like two hays over there. Ho'even, the stone, Ho'ezer, the help. It's like broken up because at this point they weren't helped. In other words, don't think it's Even Ho'ezer, the place where they were helped, but it's the double haze is like breaks it up as if they're two different places because they were not successful in this battle. And the Plishtim camped by Afek. I saw that the Das Seferim conjectures that could be this place is located near what's present day Petach Tikva. In general, the Plishtim even then were living by the seashore, and you know, like in Gaza, that was their place. And the Plishtim were on the coast. And we're going to see Mishkan Shiloh was actually much further inland. So, but the Yidden came from Shiloh. We'll see, they gathered, and later on they brought the Aron from Shiloh, and the Plishtim were coming from their place, and the battle was somewhere in that vicinity. Vayarchu Plishtim Likras Yisrael. The actual, who fired the first shot, it seems like the Plishtim were the ones who arranged the battle Likras Yisrael toward the Yidden. They're the ones who actually did it. Batitush HaMolchama, maybe it started off as a smaller skirmish, but the battle quickly spread. Vayinogav Yisrael Lifnei Plishtim, and the Yidden were defeated. They were struck a blow before the Plishtim. Vayakuv HaMarocha Basode, they were defeated. They were struck in the battle that was in the field. Karbas Halofim Ish. Around 4,000 people, 4,000 soldiers were killed. There's different ways of looking at it. On one hand, this is the first defeat that Klal Yisrael had in battle since the incident of the Ai, way back in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. That was hundreds of years earlier. But in the times of the Ai, now this is already at the end of Mishkan Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh stood for 369 years. And Yeshua ben Nun was when they first came into Eretz Yisrael. And the time of when they battled against Ai, they first lost the battle, and then there was another battle, and they were victorious. But here they lost. So on one hand, this is a terrible signal from Shemayim. On the other hand, you should know there were only 4,000 people who were killed, which relatively, in the incident of Pilegish Begiva, which was mentioned at the end of Sefer Shoftim, when the Yidden fought against the tribe of Binyamin. Over there on the first day of battle, 22,000 men were killed from Binyamin. In other words, 4,000 was not necessarily such a tremendous blow, and it didn't spread to any of the cities. In other words, it was a defeat on the battlefield. It wasn't a total rout. In Perikim, well, people didn't disappear. The army didn't fall apart. They were defeated on the battle. They returned to the camp, and they're going to plan out the next move. Vayomru Zikne Yisrael, but the Zakenim said, what the people were saying, what the soldiers were saying, we don't know exactly. You know, it could be the Zakenim felt, you know, they could go back to battle again, you know, so they lost. But the Zakenim were able to sense. Again, this is the first defeat that Klal Yisrael had. And whatever happens to Klal Yisrael is a simen min hashamayim. So even though you say, well, it was only 4,000, it was only on the battlefield, and, you know, maybe tomorrow will be a better day, the Zikne Yisrael recognize this is a sign, min hashamayim, that Hashem, there's a message here. There's a message here. You don't find, during the times of the Shoftim, you don't find that the Goyim were killing that many Yidden. You find constantly the Goyim were plundering and were taking their possessions, and the Klal Yisrael didn't have their independence. And whenever the Goyim had the upper hand and the Jews were oppressed, that was a sign that the people couldn't tolerate, that they were the Am Hashem. And how could it be that the Goyim are in charge? And then the Shofei would arise and he would save them from their suffering. But you don't find that people were killed here. 4,000 people are killed. It was a clear defeat. So the Zakenim said, Lama nigafanu Hashem hayom lifnei plishtim. Why did the plishtim win? Of course, why did Hashem give us this blow before the plishtim? Why did Hashem give us this defeat? They really didn't know why. We already learned that B'nai Eli, they were what they did wrong. The people, from the little we saw, the people seemed to be acting very, very properly. The one thing we saw, the reaction of the people was that if the B'nai Eli were taking the fat, the meat, before they were burning the fat on the Mizbeach, the people said, wait, you'll take it later, and you can take whatever you want, just don't take it now. First bring the korban on the Mizbeach, and then you can take what you want. So on one hand, the people objected to the behavior of the B'nai Eli. On the other hand, they seemed to okay that the B'nai Eli should take what they wanted to take. And they came to the Mishkan Shiloh, and the people really didn't understand. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them this blow? Well, we're going to see the punishment was, the Aron was taken. And that was a very shocking experience. You know, through the first Beis HaMikdash, through the second Beis HaMikdash, you don't find that the Aron was captured. This is the only time you find it. Before the first Beis HaMikdash, the Aron was hidden. The Gemara in Shkolim discusses where it is. The Midrashans say it was sunken in the ground in the Beis HaMikdash. Exactly where it is discussed in the Gemara. But you don't find that the Aron was captured. And here it was captured. Why did it, but the capturing of it was later. But now they're debating, Loma negafanu Hashem hayom lifnei plishtim. The reason I mention it now is because the Meforshim look for the reason why did this terrible punishment happen. And this is the first cause that the Arbar Vanel and the Malbim, the Me'amlois brings it down, discusses the reason. That even though on one hand they felt they were tzaddikim, they didn't see what was wrong, they should have looked beneath the surface. And the truth is, there were averus in the people. Because later on, after the Aron was captured, and it made its rounds among the plishtim, and then it was brought back to Klal Yisrael, and it was there for 20 years, it says later on, in Perek Zion, that after the Aron was 20 years there, the people were drawn after Hashem, and Shmuel said to them, remove the avodah zarah, and prepare yourself to serve Hashem alone, and He'll save you from the plishtim. So obviously, they realized later on there was avodah zarah, there was still pesel micha. Not everything was in order. And even though on one hand you might say that, you know, they didn't realize, but they should have realized it. What do you mean, why did Hashem give you this blow in the hands of Plishtim? Because you're not perfect. As if you would have done Shuvan, you'd be on the level. It wouldn't happen. You know, something goes wrong. You know, why did Hashem do it? Why did Hashem do it? You got to look inside and see what's wrong. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hineni nishpat oisach. I'm going to judge you, al omrech lo chatasi, because you said you didn't sin. In other words, if a person doesn't realize his fault, that itself is an aveira. If a guy doesn't aveira, that's one strike. And if you don't see the aveira, that's another strike. This was one time. What do you mean, why did Hashem give you this blow in the hands of Plishtim? Well, let's go further. We'll see the other times. So why did they decide? Nikhay Leinu Mishilo, let's take for ourselves and bring it from Shiloh, as Aron Bris Hashem, the Aron. And what's interesting to note is in the next few psukim, when it refers to the Aron, it has a number of different ways of referring to it. And we'll notice it as we go along. Here the Aron is called the Aron Bris Hashem. That signifies the Bris is a covenant, a treaty, a pact. That we have a deal with Hashem. We keep the Torah, we keep the mitzvahs, and Hashem takes care of us. It is a bris. And it's the name of the bris of Hashem, Yudke Vovke, which signifies Hashem's midah of rachamim, that Hashem has compassion and he has mercy on us. They felt, let's go to Shiloh and take the Aron Bris Hashem. We're going to take the Aron, which is the repository, and that's the symbol and the... That's the resting place of the Shekhinah, and that's what signifies the bris that we have with Hashem. And Hashem is the merciful God who will save us. V'yavo v'kirbeinu, he should come in our midst. V'yoshienu mikafoyveinu, and he'll save us from the hands of our enemy. We're like caught in their hand. The Aron will come, and we'll be saved. That's a reasonable idea. Sounds like a good idea. By even so, Aron Vayomer Moshe, right? We say, what happened when the Aron traveled? Kum Hashem v'yafutzu oivecha. Hashem, there was a special tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's brought down in the Torah. Of course, we say it whenever you take out the Aron. Kum Hashem, Hashem should arise, kaviyachol v'yafutzu oivecha. Your enemies should be scattered v'yonusu misanecha mipanecha, and your enemies should be. They should flee. They should flee from before you. So when the Aron is brought, that's what represents the Shekhinah. The enemy scatters. When they took the Aron and they crossed the Yarden, the waters split. And the waters remained split. It was dry land till all of Klal Yisrael crossed over. And the water piled up to the sky. But it didn't continue its flow as long as the Aron was there. When they took the Aron and they went around Jericho, the walls collapsed. They didn't normally take out this Aron to war, but this required drastic action. Klal Yisrael was defeated. They had to take out this Aron. And that could be at some later point we'll touch on. I'm thinking next week is a short parak. We'll come back to a few of these points. But there is a major discussion. How many Arons were there? How many Aronos? Was there a separate Aron that traveled before Klal Yisrael and normally went to war? Or was there only one Aron? But in this case, they definitely took the Aron that was not normally taken, assuming there was one Aron and it was in Shiloh. And the suggestion is, we're going to take this Aron, let the Aron come with us to battle, and we'll win this war. Could be Klal Yisrael felt they couldn't just let things sit as they were. The Plishtim might come after them with a vengeance. Remember, this was the Klal Yisrael made a united stand against the Plishtim. I say without Shimshon requires a separate study, as Hashem, one day we'll get to there. But by Shimshon, if you notice, he fought as a loner, and the Jewish people didn't. So whatever, and that was part of his strategy. That when the Plishtim had, you know, a complaint against Shimshon, the Jews can pretend that, you know, they have nothing to do with him. A guy goes ahead and he ties foxes' tails with a fire. And he's a crazy guy. He's not like part of us. You know, somebody do such a thing. The whole strategy. they take a donkey's bone and he hit people, you know. It's just a, he acted like an irrational person in a way that he was able to strike the polishtim, and yet nobody would come after your Jew on the street and start up with him, because, you know, what's Shimshon got to do with us? And in general, he took women who weren't from, you know, polishti women. Whatever, he acted in general in a manner that nobody should put the blame on the Jewish people. He obviously was not one of the crowd. But here, Klal Yisrael came as a united front against the polishtim. See, I lost the battle once, and they didn't pursue them. In other words, the Yidden came back to the camp, and they could plan their next move. But you never know. Tomorrow, the plishtim might come back. They got to act, and they got to react, and they got to prepare for the next battle. Vayishlach ha'am Shiloh. The people sent to Shiloh. Now, again, also, before we get to that, they mentioned they're going to take the Arum. That's listed as a second aveirah. You know, if somebody does wrong, you got to correct what's wrong. Here it's almost like a magic, you know, you put on this Band-Aid and you'll be all better. You know, they're like, you know, in other words, you're going to take out the Arun. Is the plan that you're going to, like, force Hashem to help you? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a defeat because obviously something's wrong. So what's the plan? You're going to go and take the Aron so that the Shekhinah is going to come, and you're showing that there's a bris you have with Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to save them. In other words, the Aron does that. There's a taina. In other words, and we'll see that's why the Aron was captured, because they felt that if you take the Aron, you're guaranteed success. But that's not the way to do things. If there's something wrong, you got to correct it. You got to do tshuva. There's no simple way out. So that the taina was that they were going to take from Shiloh the Aron Bris Hashem. Vayishlach ha'am Shiloh. The people sent this message to Shiloh. And the Novi stresses it was the people. And the Zakenim had the idea. The Zakenim, I don't even know if the Zakenim said the whole previous verse, or the Zakenim just said, why did Hashem give us this blow in front of the Plishtim? But to actually take the Aron out, it was the people who did it. And obviously, Eli and Shmuel, it wasn't there. No, the people did it. And in fact, we'll see later on what Eli's reaction was. He obviously did not stop them, and Shmuel didn't stop them. But Eli was very apprehensive. And we'll learn about later what Eli was doing during this episode. But the people sent the message to Shiloh. They didn't ask Eli to use the Urim V'Tumim and get a message from Hashem, if it's the right way. They didn't ask Shmuel, who's the Novi, maybe he has an opinion. The people sent to Shiloh, Vayisu Misham, and they carried from there a Saron Bris Hashem Tzvokos Yoshev HaKruvim, and they brought the Aron. First of all, we know later on by David HaMelech, there was an incident, they were transporting the Aron, and somebody grabbed hold of it was being carried on a wagon, and he was killed. Here we don't find that the Yidden were punished when they took the Aron. It could be the Novi stressing, they over there was taken on a wagon. Here they did take the Aron in the proper manner. They were wrong for taking the Aron, but Vayisu Misham, they carried from there. The Aron is supposed to be carried when it's transported, when it's transported, it's supposed to be carried, not put on a wagon. But they did it properly. Vayisu Misham, they carried from there the Aron Bris Hashem Tzvokos Yoshev HaKruvim. They carried the Aron. On one hand, they carried it again. They were stressing it's the Aron Bris Hashem. Again, we have that treaty with Hashem, who's the Midas HaRachamim. Tzvokos, which means like armies, like hosts, like tremendous crowds, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the whole world with all of the many different nations and peoples and species and everything. And it's all being guided and controlled and supervised and directed. Hashem is guiding Tzvokos. Hashem's name Tzvokos signifies that he's guiding all the Tzvos, all of these different hosts. Yoshev HaKruvim. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev HaKruvim. He dwells with the Aron. On the Kruvim, that were on the Aron, the Shekhinah dwells there. So they're going to take this repository of the Shekhinah and they're going to bring it to battle. And then there you see again, the same pasuk that shows why they were doing it shows their the taina. The aron is supposed to be Yoshev HaKruvim. It's supposed to remain. This aron is supposed to remain in the Kodesh Kodoshim. It was supposed to remain in the Mishkan under the Kruvim. It's not supposed to be taken elsewhere. Visham. And over there in Shiloh, Shnei B'nai Eli with the two sons of Eli. Imaroin Baris Elokim with the aron Baris. You notice the word now. It's not Baris Hashem. Baris Elokim. Elokim is Midas Hadin. This is going to be justice, and the punishment is coming to them. But with the Aron, with the two Bnei Eli, with Aron Baris Elokim, the Chofni Pinchas, and that's mentioned also as one of the Averis, and one of the reasons why the Aron was captured. Because look at who was doing the Aveda. In other words, the two Bnei Eli, the blame was put on them. Vayihi, and it was Kivo Aron Bris Hashem al Hamachne. When the Aron Bris Hashem came to the Machne, Vayoriu Chol Yisrael Teruah Gedoyla. Klal Yisrael gave a tremendous shout, a tremendous blow on the shofar. They gave a Teruah Gedoyla. Vateo Mara, and the whole land like shook. It was all full of the tremendous noise. In other words, you could hear the sound was heard throughout the land. The Matsuda says, Pasha, there was a Beloshen Guzma, in other words, like an exaggeration, but to show that it was a tremendously loud cry and shout that victory is at hand. And again, this is listed as one of the Averis, that even by Yericho, when they encircled the city, it was encircled for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they went around seven times. And when they went around, they were preparing themselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do a nace for them. And they should be, they were having all the proper thoughts that is necessary. And then when the wall's ready to fall, they gave a shout, the wall fell down, and they were victorious. But it wasn't like a frivolous thing like, hey, you know, the Aron's here, and they gave a shout. You know, it was, the whole thing was taken with the wrong attitude. In other words, the Aron comes and you win. Jubilation. Bateo Maharet. Vayishmu Plishtim. The Plishtim heard as Kol HaTrua. The Plishtim heard the sound of the true, and they were at a distance. In other words, the Jewish camp was not right near the Plishtim camp. I mean, they had time to discuss what they were going to do. They were at a distance, and then they marched and they met in battle in the middle ground, but they were at a distance. Vayishmu Plishtim as Kol HaTrua. The Plishtim heard the sound. Vayomer, and they said, Meh Kol HaTrua HaGedoyla HaZois. What's this tremendous shout? There's a tremendous Trua that we hear. B'machne HaYivrim, and the camp of the Hebrews. Yisraelim is always a title used for Klal Yisrael on their high madrega. Yisrael is a special name. But the Hebrews is a, the Plishtim said, the camp of these Ivrims, of these Hebrews. Vayedu, and they knew ki aroin Hashem boel hamachne. They knew that the aron came, or they knew something. This was something unusual. Vayiru haplishtim, the plishtim were afraid. Ki omru, they said boel Elokim el hamachne, that Hashem, God, has come to the machne. Some point out they didn't know it, so use the word Elohim, again, Midas Adin, could be, that was just the way that he's known by the Goyim. The word Yud-Kei-Vov-Kei, we don't even pronounce the way it's written. We use a different word, and it was only in the Beis HaMikdash, they pronounced it the way it's written, but the Goyim had no connection with that name, Yud-Kei-Vov-Kei. But they said, anyway, but that's the way it was referred to Hashem, whether they use that title or the Navi uses it, but Bo Elohim Alamachana. The Aron is here. Vayomru, and they said, Oy Lanu, woe is to us. Kilo hoisa kazois esmol shulshon. It wasn't like this yesterday and the day before. This is a rare occurrence. This is not the normal course of events. I say we don't find in all the battles that happened during the Shoftim that they took the Aron. It's last mentioned by Yericho, which was hundreds of years before. The Aron wasn't taken. Oy lanu, woe is to us. Miyatzilenu miyad ho'elokim ho'adirim ho'ele. Who will save us from the hands of these mighty, the mighty Hashem? Elohim ho'elokim. This is Hashem hamakim es Mitzrayim, that struck Mitzrayim b'chol maka, with all types of makas. Very appropriate for these, to learn it these weeks. B'chol maka b'midbar, with every type of maka in the midbar. First of all, they point out that it could be the plishtim. You know, the word Elohim itself is the form of the verb, the form of the word is in plural, the noun is in plural. But even though it's referring to Hashem, that's the way it's referred to in the Torah. In general, authority is referred to in the plural. Like Rashi mentions in Chumash, in the alav imo lo yishalim, if the owner is with an item, the word ba'alav means actually owners. It could have said im be'alo, its owner, or it says vayikach adone Yosef oso, the masters of Yosef took him. And again, that's plural. But authority is mentioned as plural. But the fact that the whole pasuk works in plural, it could be the plishtim just didn't realize that. They might have realized Hashem is Elokei Yisrael, but they didn't know that it's Hashem Echad, that it's one power, because the whole pasuk is in plural. Ho adirim is the mighty ones. Ho ele, these. Elohim Hamakim, the whole pasuk is in the plural. Could be they didn't recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Shem Echad. But this is the way what the Plishtim know about Hashem. The Aron is here. The Aron represents Hashem, and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not good to start up with him. This is Elohim Hamakim Es Mitzrayim. They could have said Im Be'alo, its owner, or. Says Vayikach Adone Yosef Oso, the masters of Yosef took him. And again, that's plural. But authority is mentioned as plural. But the fact that the whole pasuk works in plural, it could be the plishtim just didn't realize that. They might have realized Hashem is Elokei Yisrael, but they didn't know that it's Hashem Echad, that it's one power, because the whole pasuk is in plural. Ho Adirim is the mighty ones. Ho Ela, these. Elohim Hamakim, the whole pasuk is in the plural. Could be they didn't recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Shem Echad. But this is the way what the Plishtim know about Hashem. The Aron is here. The Aron represents Hashem, and Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not good to start up with him. This is Elohim Hamakim Es Mitzrayim. They struck Mitzrayim b'chol maka, with every maka, b'midbar, in the midbar. Of course, it's a little strange. The makas weren't in the midbar. The makas were in Mitzrayim. So Rashi brings down already, b'chol maka b'midbar could be referring to the Yamsuf. In other words, this is Hashem who struck the Mitzrim in Egypt, and b'midbar in the desert when they were crossing Yamsuf to the midbar, Hashem gave the Mitzrim additional punishments. Or the Targum says, which Rashi brings down, it could be these are the Hashem who struck the Mitzrim b'chol maka, with every maka, b'midbar, and in the midbar, this is Hashem who helped out the Yidden and did miracles for the Yidden. But anyways, they're dealing with a supernatural power. This is Hashem who struck the Mitzrim, and it's also b'chol maka. There's so many different types of makas that Hashem brought. It's going to be hard to put up a fight, the Plishtim are saying. You know, in other words, Hashem has a lot of weapons in his arsenal. There were all different types of makas, and it wasn't limited to Mitzrayim. It was even b'midbar in the desert. Or the Kadosh Baruch Hu can fight in the midst of the civilization, and he can fight in the midbar in the desert, and he has all different types of makas he can bring. So the Plishtim are wondering, how are they going to deal with this? But they didn't give up. They said in Pasuk Tes, Hischazku. You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to put up a tough fight. We got a rough opponent. We're going to have to, Hischazku, strengthen ourselves. We got to be a man. Be like men who are plishtim. And then we can fight. Hopefully we'll win. And if we don't win, they said, Pentavdu lo Ivrim, the alternative is you're going to have to work for the Jews, Kasher Avdu Lachem. All these years they were working for you. We had the upper hand. If we don't put up a good fight, hopefully we'll win. If we don't win, we might have to work for them. And even if we're not successful, and we're not able, and we're defeated, but let's put up a fight. Be'isim la'noshim, at least be men, v'nolchamtim and fight, and at least if they're killed, they'll be killed in battle. Go down fighting. But it's a throw of hands and surrender, that we can't do. Vayilochamu plishtim, so the plishtim fought. Vayinogif Yisrael, and the Klal Yisrael was struck. Vayanusu ishla ohalov. This time, it wasn't an orderly retreat where they went back to the machane and they planned the next move. But here, vayanusu ishla ohalov, everybody went back to his own tent. Vatzihi hamako gedola me'od, and the blow was very great. Vayipol mi Yisrael, and it fell from Klal Yisrael, shloshim elef ragli, 30,000 foot soldiers. I don't know if there was anybody on a chariot or infantry or a horseman, I don't know, but there were 30,000 just the foot soldiers, and it was a total rout. Everyone was running to their own tent. V'aron Elokim Nilkoch, and the Aron Elokim, here it doesn't say Bris Hashem, it doesn't say Bris, it's V'aron Elokim, the Aron Elokim, signifying Midas Hadin, that Aron Nilkoch was taken, U'shnei b'nei Eli Mesu, and the two sons of Eli died, Chofni U'Pinchas. Before it didn't say clearly in the Nevuah, and as it said, he's going to do something that all of Klal Yisrael is going to be affected. He didn't say clearly that the Aron obviously would be captured. They didn't dream that was going to happen. But they knew something was going to happen. We also know that Chofni and Pinchas were going to die in one day, but it didn't say they were going to die in battle. But now we see it all happen. Chofni and Pinchas died. The Aron was captured. And it was a total defeat. Now we're going to see what happens. Yudbeis, Vayorotz Ish Binyamin Behamarocha. Everybody was running, but there was one person. There was an Ish Binyamin. A man from Binyamin ran Mehamarocha from the battle scene. Vayovo Shiloh, and he came to Shiloh Bayom Hahu. On that day, the Novi stresses, on that day he arrived in Shiloh. Umadov Kruim, and his clothing was torn. And some of Forshim stress, usually you would have said Ubegodov. But Umadov is mashma, the unique, the uniform. It could be the soldiers who were wearing uniforms. But Umadov Kruim, it wasn't their regular clothing, but his clothing was torn, v'adoma al rosho, and he had dirt on his head as a sign of mourning. This is the first time we get a glimpse. If you look in Rashi, on Ish bin Yamin, Rashi says, Zeha Yeshohu. We're seeing Shaul's first appearance, who would later become the king. The one who showed up was Shaul Shechotav es Haluchos Miyad Golias. He grabbed the Luchos from the hands of Golias Ubarachlo, and he ran. The Aron was captured, Chofni and Pinchas were killed, and in fact later on, in Perek Yud Zayin, the Targum mentions that Golias was the one who killed Chofni and Pinchas. So all these names that we're going to touch in passing, later on they're going to come back. We'll see Shaul again, we'll see Goliath again, but they've met the first time over here. The Aron was captured, and obviously Shaul went there, and he got the Luchas out of there, and he ran all the way back to Shiloh. And Chazal mentioned that in Me'am Lois it's brought down, Shiloh was 60 mil away. Mil is a distance. It's a question exactly how far that is. Very often it's taken to mean 18 minutes, an 18-minute walk. So if you were to tell me it was an 18-minute walk and it was 60 mil away, that would be a 20-hour walk. 3 mil an hour. 20-hour walk. Of course, he's running. And we're going to see Golias was tall. He could have had a wide stride. But he was carrying the luchas. The luchas were heavy. But Lamaisa, he ran all the way from Shiloh and he arrived on the same day. And well, actually, there are opinions in Chazal. One opinion is that he came from Shiloh that day to the battle. He grabbed Luchas and he ran back. And there's another opinion, he actually fled from the battlefield. And when he heard that the Aron was taken, he ran back to the battlefield, grabbed the Luchas, and went back. And we'll see later on why they make that diuk. But it could be, I say, in general, Scholl was a very strong strong person, but I assume this was also on the bordering on the miraculous, that he was able to do this. But the Ish Binyamin, there was one person who ran, and he ran with a direction. He wasn't running to his tent. He ran to Shiloh. And he had to spread the word. Vayavo, he came. Bine Eli Yoshev al Akise. And Eli was sitting by his chair. Yad Derech, by the side of the road, Mitzape. And he was waiting. He was hoping. He was looking. He was blind. But he was looking, and he was waiting for some news. Ki hoya libo chore. His heart was fearful. Al aroin hu Elokim. His thoughts were, the aroin is taken out to battle. His hearts were afraid. Could be he knew, and I assume he knew that the aroin was taken. In fact, some say that he could be he instructed his sons, Chofni and Pinchas, okay, if you're taking the aroin, but make sure to defend it with your life. But he was very worried about it. He was apprehensive. He might have allowed it, but he was libo was chorid al aron Elokim. Ve'o'ish bo lahagid bo'ir. Now the man who came, Scholl, he came to announce it in the city. He wasn't going to tell it to Eli. He was going to announce it to the city. Batizak kol ha'ir. And the whole ear was in an uproar. They were all crying out. There was a tremendous tumult. Why was his rush just to tell it in the city? Could be he felt Shiloh was the place where the decision came to go to war. And they took the Aron from Shiloh. Shiloh was the headquarters of the Jewish people. And now they lost the first day, and now they lost the second day with the Aron. It makes sense to say that the Plishtim are going to come to Shiloh and destroy it. And in fact, we'll see after this incident, this is called the Churban of Mishkan Shiloh, the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh. Now, we don't see anywhere clearly that the city was destroyed. It doesn't say the Plishtim came. It doesn't say the city was destroyed. It could be just Klal Yisrael. And the Nevi'im felt that once the Aron was captured, they should move the Mishkan from Shiloh, and they took it to Nov, and they took it elsewhere. But whether the Plishtim did come to Shiloh and destroy it or they didn't, there certainly would be a fear that that could happen. So he went straight to the city, perhaps to warn the people in the city. They got to evacuate. Who knows what's going to happen? They should know what they're up against. They've stirred up the Plishtim, and they've been defeated. Batizak kol ha'ir, and the whole ear was in an uproar. Eli was sitting on his chair. He was very old. You would have expected him to be lying in bed, perhaps have somebody move his bed there. But he was at attention. In other words, he wasn't relaxed. He was sitting on his chair by the road, and the ksiv, it's written with the word yach, to like hit, to strike. And it could be because, in other words, we read it yad derech, by the next to the road, like Rashi mentions in Chumash, that Yad is a hand, because the hand is next to the body. Yad Derech is he was next to the road. But it's written Yach Derech. There's a beating over here. It could be to signify like his heart was beating. Yach Derech. It was pounding by the road. Or maybe he was waiting for the pounding footsteps. He was waiting for somebody to come running in and tell him what happened. But there was some type of yach, there was some type of pounding, some type of whatever pounding signifies. But we read it, Yad Derech, he was sitting by the road and hoping. Yudalid, Vayishma Eli es kol hatza'oka. Eli heard the sound of the crying out. Vayomer, and he said, Mekol ha'homon hazeh. What's the sound of this tremendous, the commotion? And Hamon, there's a lot of people that are making noise. What's going on? So this Ish bin Yamin hastened, Vayavo, and he came Vayaged Le'eli, and he told it to Eli what happened. And we're going to see that he broke the news. He broke it the way bad news should be broken. It should be broken gradually. But obviously he shouldn't have said everything right then. But could be Vayish Mihar. He was hurrying. He wasn't coming with Yishuv Hadas. He had gone to the city to announce what happened. And then people must have told him, Eli wants to know what's happening, Eli wants to report. He didn't really have a chance to think exactly what to say, what not to say. Could be he knew that Eli already heard the bad news, just he wanted the details. As Eli wanted to hear more, he wanted to hear a first-hand account, so he wasn't sure what Eli knew, what Eli didn't know. Of course, Eli knew nothing of what happened. He couldn't see, he had no idea, he just heard the noise. But he hurried, Vayavo, and he came, Vayage, Le'eli, and he told Eli. Ve'eli ben tishim u'shmona shana. Eli was 98 years old. Ve'enov koma, his eyes had already stopped seeing. It doesn't even say ve'enov komu. Or it's not just his hand, his eyes as a unit weren't functioning as they should, but each eye individually was not seeing. He wasn't able to see. Vayomer, and that's critical to what happened. If he would have been able to see, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. If he would have seen the Ish bin Yomer, if he would have seen Shaul coming with his clothing torn and with dirt on his head, that already lets him know that there's a tragedy. And he can brace himself for exactly what the tragedy is. Here, he didn't see anything, so he was missing out on the whole background information. So the man said to Eli, Anochi habo min hamarocha. I'm coming from battle. Vani min hamarocha nasti hayom. And I today from the battle have fled today. It's redundant, isn't it? I came today from the battle, and today I fled from the battle. This is the basis. Where did Chazal see that he actually was in Shiloh? He ran away, heard that the Luchos were captured, ran back, and then ran back again to Shiloh. Again, that's only one opinion. The other opinions don't mention that. But the Me'am always brings on that sheet in Chazal, and it could be it's seen in this pasuk. Vani min amarocha, anochi abo min amarocha. I came from the battlefield once. And then again I fled from the battlefield. It could be stressing that first of all, I'm coming from the battle. You're getting a first-hand account. This is, I can vouch because I was there. And don't think I forgot what happened. It's old news. But ani min hamarocha nasti hayom. Just today I'm running. You're hearing a first-hand account that's fresh and I haven't forgotten anything. I can give you all the details exactly. Or as a third possibility, it's just stressing the confusion that he came, that his taka wasn't speaking coherently. It's like Lo Aleinu, they always say, you know, if somebody has to call Hatzalah, you know, get somebody calm to speak and give the message, don't. You know, sometimes the person is so caught up in the trauma of what occurred, he can't give clear directions. Anochi abomin amarocha, and I came from the battle and I'm fleeing from the battle. And it could be he's not speaking clearly because he's so fatumult of the events of the last few hours. And therefore, he said more than he should have. Vayomer, so Eli said, Mehoyo hadover. What happened? What happened? Mehoyo hadover bini. My son, what happened? Vayan amavaser vayomer. The mavaser, the one bringing the news, called out and he said, usually Mavasir is somebody with good news. If you say something that people want to hear, that's called a Mavasir. But in the simple meaning, as the Radak points out, Mavasir could be used for even if it's bad news. Or you could say he viewed himself as the Mavasir because he had urgent news that everybody would like to hear. Because even though it's bad news, but anybody who is in Shiloh should know that the enemy might be coming in hot pursuit. So he's coming with Mavasir, he's telling news that everybody must hear, it's urgent. So he's a Mavasir, he's saying news that people would want to be notified of so that they could act accordingly. Vayan ha-Mavasir vayomer, the Mavasir said, Nos Yisrael lifnei plishtim. The Jews fled from before the plishtim. That's the first. So that's bad news, it's shocking news, but you can deal with that. Then he gets to the next step. There was a very great blow against the people. Meaning, obviously, a lot of people were killed. It was a tremendous blow. If nobody was killed, that means that they fled. But here, there was a magefa gedola. V'gam shnevo nechamesu. And he's speaking to Eli that, Eli, your two sons died. Chofni Pinchas. V'aron ho'elokim nilkocha. And the Aron was taken. So you notice the Mavasir mentions in progression the worst thing the blow was, worse than the fact that so many people had been killed, including Chofni Pinchas. He was telling Eli, the worst thing is that the Aron was captured. Vayihi, and it was, Kaz Kiru es Aron Elokim. When he mentioned the Aron, Vayipol Mi'al Hakisei, Eli fell off of his chair. Achoranis, backwards. Be'ad Yad Hashar, opposite the place of the gates, the gates of the city. Batishover Mafrakto, and he broke his spine. You wonder why, if somebody fell, why do you break his spine? Such a thing happened. So to realize why he broke his spine, the Navi tells you, first of all, he was sitting on a chair, and as he was high up, and he had a fall from a height. It's not that much. He fell off of the chair, and he fell backwards, so he landed directly on his spine. And it was right by the threshold, which very often the threshold is stone or metal. It's certainly hard dirt. It's a hard threshold. He fell in that place, and he broke his mafrekes, vayamos, and he died. And he died immediately. Kizokin ha'ish. Besides the fact that he had the fall in such a manner, he was old, v'kaved, and he was also very heavy. So a heavy person, the blow is more severe. But u'shofet es Yisrael arba'im shana. On a simple level, it's just, since we're finished with Eli, so the Navi ends off, and he judged Klal Yisrael for 40 years. But some say that's part of the reason why he died so suddenly. That almost it takes a toll on a person somehow to be the manig. He judged Klal Yisrael for 40 years. So the effort and the toll that it took on him from being the shofet for so long, and coupled with the fact that he was old and that he was heavy and that he fell from the chair in this whole manner, he broke his mafrekes and he died. V'kalosoi Eishes Pinchas, his daughter-in-law, who was the wife of Pinchas, Hora was pregnant, Lolas, and she was going to give birth. As Rashi says, the word Lolas, you don't find elsewhere in Tanakh. V'ein lo dimyan, Rashi says, you don't have any word like that. It's a very unusual word. In the context, we would understand it to mean that she was pregnant, she was going to be giving birth shortly. Batishmas Hashmua, when she heard this news, this report, El Hilokach Aronu Elokim, that the Aron was captured, Umeis Chomia and her father-in-law Eli had died, V'isha and her husband, Batichra Vatelet, she crouched, she knelt, and she gave birth, Kinevchu Aleha Tzireha. Her birth pangs came on her, and she went into labor. She immediately was ready to give birth. In that word lolas, Rashi mentions from Menachem that they learn out lolas also can come from the word yelola, a wailing. That Horashi was pregnant, and it wants to, the Navi is, wants to on one hand tell us it was to give birth, on the other hand to stress that it was in a time of mourning, of wailing, of crying, and that's why, in other words, she was, the emotions that she was going through is part of what caused this tragedy. She was hara lolas, she was pregnant and ended up as a wailing, as a crying, because she heard the report and she immediately went into labor. And kinefchu aleha tzireha, it implies that it wasn't the normal way birth should have gone. It was nefchu, it was like turned. It didn't proceed the way it should have. There was some type of turning, some type of unusual event that as she went into labor, it didn't work out. It was not successful. Uchais Musa, and at the time that she was died giving birth, Batidaberno Hanitzovos Aleho, the women who were standing around her said, Al Tiri, don't be afraid, Kivein Yolodet, you gave birth to a son. It's the same words that were said to Rachel, who also died in childbirth, and they told her, don't worry, it's a son. I guess hoping that, you know, the good news, you know, sometimes that'll give her strength. But v'lo onsa v'lo shasa liba. She didn't answer. She didn't put her heart to it. It didn't register. You know, she was caught up with her own suffering. She didn't pay attention to that. But v'tikro lanar, she called the child e kavod. Where's the honor? Or e kavod, there is no honor. Lamor saying, Gola kavod mi Yisrael. All the honor has been exiled, has been exiled from Klal Yisrael. It's been sent away. We don't have the honor anymore. El hilok acharonu Elokim, referring to the fact that the Aron had been taken, ve'el chamiya, and what happened to her father-in-law, Eli, who had died, ve'isha, and her husband. Some portion, again, I'm Valkore, I like to see what the Trump says, but some point out, she called him e-kavod. It doesn't say v'chikra lanar e-kavod, saying gola kavod mi Yisrael. The Trump on the word lemor, zakef katan, also signifies a break. It was almost as if she called the nar e-kavod lemor. People should say e-kavod. That was like almost what she named him, e-kavod lemor. But she called him E-Kavod because she wanted people that whenever they called this child, they should realize Klal Yisrael has nothing. The honor is totally gone. It shows it's Madregas that it's hard for us to appreciate. And she's about to die. She's dying. It's like her last words. And what's on her thought is E-Kavod Lamor. Let Klal Yisrael say there is no honor. Oh, where's the honor? They should realize that's it. We have nothing. Why? Let's list her list of priorities. The first thing, El hilok acharon hu Elokim. The Aron has been taken. That's the first thing that's mentioned. Ve'el chami and her father-in-law, because again, it wasn't just a father-in-law. It's her father-in-law who happened to be the Gadol Hador in Torah. He was the line of the Mesorah, went through Eli. He was the Kayin Gadol. He was the Shofet. He was like, the Aron is the Torah Shebichsav and the Eli is the Torah Shebalpeh. That's everything. And her father-in-law had died. The Isha and, of course, her husband. Some say that she just said the name E-Kavod. And the ladies around her might have said Eli Loka Charonu Elokim, because the next Pasuk, either, you know, she said the whole Pasuk Chaf Aleph and then she clarified the main point right now, or maybe the others suggested all the cover that had left and she corrected them, but Vatomer, she said, when we mentioned all the cover left, Gola covered me Yisrael, the cover has left Klal Yisrael, Ki nilkach Aron hu Elokim, because the Aron was taken. Or she reiterated, there's many tragedies, the Aron was taken, her father-in-law died, her husband, but Gola covered, why? Because the Aron was taken. That's the end. That's the one thing that was, she ended off. In other words, when she was dying and they told her it's a son, she didn't pay attention to it. Below Ansa, she didn't answer and she didn't put her heart to it. Nothing. When it came to naming the child and thinking of the glory of Klal Yisrael, all of a sudden she's alert. For that, she has the composure of mind to be able to think of an appropriate name and in the thought that the Aron was taken. This is actually the end of an era. Next week is a short perek, and I'm looking forward actually to a short perek, because there's a lot of different thoughts, ideas that we haven't mentioned previously, but it's the end of an era, so in addition to doing perek hay next week, I'd like to just sum up exactly the end of what Mishkan Shiloh is. In other words, this is it for Mishkan Shiloh. And in fact, it's a You know, we have a lot of fast days on the calendar. And I know for many people, myself included, it seems, you know, it's too many. You know, it's time for the gula. There's too many fast days. But there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch, Tav Kuf Pei, where he lists additional days for people who feel the closest to Hashem through fasting and experiencing the suffering of Klal Yisrael. And among the fast days is Yud Iyar, the 10th of Iyar. And it's given because that was the day that the Aron was captured and the defeat of Mishkan Shiloh. But as I say, you know, we're at our point in history, we think of the Batei Mikdash being destroyed. But Mishkan Shiloh was a blow that there are Yechidim in Klal Yisrael who every 10th of Iyar meditate over the Parshios that we've learned and what it means that the Aron was captured. This was the only time in history that the Aron was captured. And we'll see that's part of we discussed the punishments why the Aron was captured. And we'll see later on, the Aron was captured also because they didn't treat the Aron with the proper respect. And we're going to see how the Aron did miracles when it was amongst the Plishtim and when it was brought back to Klal Yisrael to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Aron has the tremendous power and the Shekhinah is there and it accomplishes great things. On the other hand, it's not just a simple solution. Bring the Aron and you're guaranteed victory. But Klal Yisrael would have to do tshuva and improve themselves, which we'll see happens in the next few prokim.